You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey there, and welcome to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Sven Gustafson, and today we're coming at you from the lovely, the beautifully appointed studios of Podcast Detroit with the two founders of the Podcast Detroit Network, Bob Waltenspiel and Dave Phillips. Guys, nice to see you.
How you doing?
How's it going, man?
It's been a couple months, I guess.
It has.
Yeah. So you guys have an exciting new initiative that I wanted to start off today's episode talking about. It's called Start Your Career in IT from Ground Zero, and it's taking place up the road in Flint, right? Tell us about that initiative.
So this has been a long time baking. If you followed IT in the D, we were very big when the No Worker Left Behind grants came out, and we were getting people sent over to training facilities to get them basically ramped up into a career in IT. What we found was there was we ended up dubbing it the path. There was there was a starting point, there was a middle point, and there was a finish point. And to be honest, if you're in a career in IT, it never ends. You're always learning. It's always something new.
Okay.
What we did is we approached the state of Michigan and said, hey, listen, there's people doing things all around the state, but nobody's really doing anything with concrete certifications that get you actual jobs, that get you filled. That there's a huge skill shortage in IT. Let's work on this. So we teamed up with Goodwill, MEDC, the state of Michigan, Pure Michigan, Michigan Works, and I believe there's one other entity, but we're actually
the Flint Genesee Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, the Chamber of Commerce, and we're delivering all you can eat training. Basically, we're telling people how to get into IT. Mm-hmm. We're getting them placement services and getting them started in a career, and then we're going to continue the training on and on until they say stop.
Well, and it's an evolution of what we've seen from our networking events. You know, we do our events once, well, now twice a month, now that we've got the Ann Arbor chapter launched. So we've about a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago, we started getting more and more people showing up at our events that were looking to get into IT or to transition into IT. You know, forever. I mean, the group's been around since 2001. We were always that medium level experience, like 3 to 5 years and up group that people knew us for. But in that last couple of years, we've seen a lot of new faces show up that are just either looking to get an IT or have just gotten an IT. And a lot of that's through, they've decided they went to whether it's a Grand Circus or a Girl Develop It class or
Experience IT or something.
Exactly, something like that. We don't talk about them. But
true story.
So they went through one of those boot camps, if you will. And the only issue with those, and it's through no fault of their own, it's they are for the most part grassroots organizations. And so there's no certificate. There's not a CompTIA cert at the end of that path. And so what was happening is people would go through these boot camps and then they'd show up at our events like, hey, I just went through, my Python class or my Java class or whatever, and I'm ready for a job in IT. And recruiters were like, okay, well, what cert did you get? And they're like, well, what?
And these certifications are important in IT, I gather.
Yeah. Yes. I mean,
non-IT listeners.
Exactly.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got certifications basically say, hey, I went through this class. I passed this test. I'm registered. You can look it up, that sort of thing.
There's certain things that you're just not going to get a job doing if you do not have a cert.
Yeah. If you're going to be a network engineer, you're going to need to have a CCNA, probably a CISSP, and a few others. Anyway, so what
– Alphabet soup.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the acronym episode, yes.
Yeah.
IT and the D.
Yeah, exactly.
With the acronyms flying fast.
The EIEIO, So what this does, which is really nice, is it gives them access to 1,400-odd classes, all the learning materials and that sort of stuff, which have always been available through our site for – I believe it's $29 a year, Bob. Correct me if I'm wrong.
$29, yeah. All you can eat.
And that's not $29 per course. That's $29, and you get access to 1,400 classes. You can earn an associate's degree through this thing. But then you had to go get – you had to go pass the certification test somewhere. What this – thing that we've done with MEDC is closes that loop. So it's not just giving them access to the class and the training materials. It's also getting them through that actual getting that certificate. Mm-hmm. The intent is to get them through initially at least, you know, the basics, you know, the A plus, Net plus, Security plus, which are the foundations and fundamentals of, all right, now I'm ready to get a help desk job, mm-hmm. you know, and so I can, you know, I can step in and I can, you know, start taking phone calls and I can start, you know, trouble tickets, that sort of thing, and start figuring out what they really want to do in IT.
Got it. How long is the curriculum? Like, how long does it take to go through this?
You can.
So it's really entirely up to you. You want to blow, you know, so what we're telling people is, hey, to start out in to get yourself a level one help desk job or to be just a basic sysadmin, you need an A plus and a network plus CompTIA okay. cert. Mm-hmm. You want to blow through that in 2 weeks and test out, more power to you. It takes you 3 months. You know, that's the thing. We're not giving anyone a time frame because everyone's going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And so it's $29 flat rate for anybody who wants
to. Well, grants are picking
through,
it up.
For, gotcha. Through our site, yes. Through this thing that we're doing with MEDC, it's covered.
Okay. Well, and we'll come back to, you know, where the people can find more information. But I wanted to ask you, why Flint? I mean, that seems to be kind of an interesting twist here. Is this a new thing?
This was the state's determination.
Okay.
Really what they saw was where's the most downturn
yeah.
Economically. There was a couple. It was Flint. They said they wanted to do Monroe second because of a huge Macy's layoff. So they're really taking a look. They're working with MishWorks on where we see yeah. the biggest influx of displaced workers. And then they're taking a look at where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. If there's a transition that they can go from, you know, retail that's, you know, because right now we're seeing a huge de-evolution in big box retail.
Right.
If we can get them transition to a skill set that's marketable, that we can keep people in the state of Michigan, and then that's what they're all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And so, we started this conversation talking about Detroit, and it really came down to a logistics issue, you know, as far as, you know, finding the right training facility, that sort of thing. And then as, of course, everything evolved over the course of the past couple of years in Flint. And when Bob says this has been baking for a long time, this has been baking for a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been having these conversations with MEDC for the better part of the last 15, 16 months. So, of course, you know, as things happen in Flint. Yeah, I mean, it became a natural thing to, okay, that's a great place to help out. But, I mean, as we've had these discussions and as we've moved through this, you know, as Bob said, you know, Monroe's a location that we're looking at. We just had a great conversation with some folks down in Detroit. We may be looking at expanding it down there pretty
quickly. They want to go to the Thumb because apparently yeah. there's some problems there. But I said the problem is when we start expanding to these areas, there are 16 areas state of Michigan is designated as districts. Mm-hmm. The problem is when you go up in the Thumb area, the jobs are down here.
Right.
They're in the metro area.
Yeah, you want to go where there are IT jobs.
Right. We want to talk about this program and how great it is and blah, 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 but we also need to set expectations where the actual jobs are.
Well, and so that's – I mean, and that's kind of what – you know, what we're bringing to the table with this. You know, one, it was the relationship that we brought to MEDC mm-hmm. and said, hey, we know how to make this go in the metro Detroit area. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, that's what we've been doing is getting people, you know, signed up and getting people doing their thing and running through it. This is something, though, that needs to be run. It should be available statewide at a minimum. We don't have that much pull or, frankly, that much time mm-hmm. to make that happen. And so that's why we looped in MEDC and said, hey, let's make a run at this. And as it goes, though, it's going to be – I'm curious – I am. I mean, I'm curious to see how this plays out over the course of the next year or so.
Yeah. What specifically is your role going to be in this program?
So we're bringing them – that's what I initially started to answer and I forgot. So it's not just bringing the idea forward. It's now we start leveraging the relationships that we've made over the course of the past 16 years running IT and the D events with all of the companies that are out there looking to hire people into those entry-level jobs.
But we also want to speak to the people going – you know, if you tell someone that just got laid off at Macy's going, get an IT, get your A+, then they go, what?
Yeah.
You know – There's transition. There's a lot of questions. So we're teaching, we're going to be teaching a lot of courses. We're going to be basically working with, holding workshops, conducting consulting sessions, bringing in people that have been through it.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I used to paint walls for a living. Now I'm in a data center at a bank. This is how I got there.
Yeah.
Right.
More to the point, I was painting walls 3 years ago.
Right.
And now this is what – yeah.
Yeah, very cool. When do you think this is going to launch?
Any minute now. The flyers just got sent to us for approval.
Okay.
We both signed off on it. It looked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we said approved. And now it's just a matter of, I mean, the
just enrolling people.
They're already working on that. Okay. I think they already got people asking.
That's great.
Because we're doing it not just Flint, because they said, hey, there's people in Genesee, there's people all around Livingston coming into this.
Mm-hmm.
So they already, Michigan Works already has a really good idea of people. And it's also, it can all be done at you know, there's no classes. Mm-hmm. So you're not stuck coming to, you know, 8 to 12 in the morning.
So it's done remotely on your own time?
You can do it remotely, but we're going to have sessions if you need to. Like, hey, we're going to have open workshops.
Okay.
Come on in. We're
so
gonna
it's flexible depending
on.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolute 100% flex time.
Okay.
We might do some morning sessions, some night sessions. We're going to have people there to answer questions like, hey, you know, what do you think I should do?
Very
cool. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, that whole, yeah, you know, bring somebody in that's got, you know, a good hardware background, you know, mm-hmm. and have them take, you know, hey, we're going to hold an open session on the A-plus stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I do network security as a job. Yep, we'll have you there for, you know, the security plus, you know, session, you know, once a week or however that works out. And that's the other thing we're doing is, you know, trying to coordinate those volunteers, you know, people from our group and our network that have been there and done that and have experience out in the field mm-hmm. to come be that voice. You know, not just from the, hey, I was in your shoes a couple of years ago and this is where I got, but hey, this is what I do every day and this is what the reality of that situation is. Because, I mean, I think we all know there's a vast difference between this is how the book says it's done and then this is what you're really going to encounter day one.
Sure. And are you going to like this? That's a big deal. When we talk about the path, it's what do you like doing? Do you like coding? Do you like fixing computers? Do you want to be a server admin? Do you like security, right? There's so many different paths you can go down.
Got it. And I think one of you said that this is something that at least the MEDC, the state, is looking to possibly kind of franchise in other
this is
going to
run statewide.
Districts. Yeah,
oh,
yeah. That's great.
This is Flint's the pilot, and then once the pilot gets proven, mm-hmm. it's going to get run statewide.
Very cool. Very cool. You are listening to the Daily Detroit Happy Hour podcast. We are talking with Bob Waltenspiel and Dave Phillips. They are the mad geniuses behind IT in the D.
And well, mad, at least.
And the podcast Detroit Network, which is, you know, we can't thank you guys enough for helping us get our own show off the ground.
Happy to.
Let's talk about kind of, you know, IT and the D and how that has kind of evolved, because you guys have been at this for a long time, since 2001, right?
Well, the networking group, yes.
Okay. And what was the networking group called?
Way back when, it was called DetroitNet.org.
Yeah.
So it was the Detroit Networking Organization.
And it was basically an IT professionals networking group.
It was a stupid name to put on us going to the bar and getting drunk. let's be candid. It really was. But we wanted a network. We didn't want idiots. We call them idiots. Mm-hmm. They might call themselves something else. But we listen, at the end of the day, the IT professionals or people – no one wants to get sold to or get hounded at these networking events. We've all been there. We just wanted to go and hang out and just in a relaxed environment. So we said, let's slap on a sales-free kind of mantra, which was kind of funny because I'm a sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make it 100% IT and let's wrap this weird culture around it. So instead of telling people, hey, here's our culture, we wrote, don't be that guy.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, you kind of brought in kind of the social, like, blogging aspects to this culture. Talk about that and when that started and how that came about and everything.
It was a matter of when we would – so we had a thing when we'd meet people, and I didn't want to write, you know, don't be that guy, the Sven edition, right? Really, I wanted it to be like
– you don't want to be me.
No, right, but we wanted you to read it and go like, oh, no, that's me.
Plausible deniability.
Right. But we never wrote about you, Sven, but you read it and you're like, oh, my God, they wrote about me.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to call people out because that's just, you know, there's just – but we also wanted to wake people up. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not how you do business in this town properly.
Yeah.
At least in our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we right now? But you know, I knew what was painful when I went and networked. You know, you had the people that would run around and collect 87 business cards. We call them, you know, the shoebox networker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me about three people last night you met. Well, I got 87 business cards. Well, tell me about three.
Yeah. Are business cards still a thing? I'm worried that we might have,
of course.
Half of our listenership might. But what are those?
Like, right. You know? They're never going away.
Right.
Well, to me, a business card is it's almost like an invitation to, yeah, you may connect with me on LinkedIn. Yes, you may call me. Yes, you may email me in the future for coffee.
You've got a golden ticket.
Pretty much. No, that's what it's become.
Right.
You don't just walk up to someone, hand them a business card. This is after maybe a 15-minute conversation. Mm-hmm. Go, you know, here's my card.
Yeah, right. Hey, let's follow up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, I realized that I think my introduction to your world, I guess, was back in 2008, 2009. The place I was working, I was actually blogging at that point for MLive, and I was blogging about, this was 2009, about employment in Michigan, because this is right in the worst part of, you know, the nadir of the recession and the real estate crash and everything. And I found out that there was this thing going on called pink slip parties.
Yep.
And I actually went to one of them. Partly, I was actually, you know, worried about losing my own job and knew that I needed to find something. And I went there, and I think it was out in Belleville or something. I don't even remember where this event was, but and it was right around the time that General Electric opened their GE opened their big IT.
Oh,
campus.
You know what? We did an event out at GE. Yep, we did.
Okay, but anyway, tell us about the pink slip parties. Are those still going on? What's
so they were candidly they were kind of a defense mechanism. So
the world was cratering.
Half the crowd was out of work.
Well, yeah. The monthly networking events were always networking events, you know, hey, show up, meet people in the industry, that sort of thing. Well, mm-hmm. then, you know, word got out that, you know, there were geeks there to be hired. So recruiters started showing up looking to hire people. Word got out that recruiters were there looking to hire people. So people started showing up looking for jobs. And so March of 2009, we were at Blackfin. And Bob and I were sitting at the bar after the event and went, God, you know, more than half the crowd that showed up here tonight wasn't looking to hang out and network. They were here to try to find a job. You know, we started talking about this whole pink slip party concept that, you know, a friend of a friend was doing down in Florida. You know, yeah, let's give that a shot and see how it goes. And it'll just be a job. It'll be, you know, so instead of networking, it's jobs focused.
Yeah.
And so.
But we hate job fairs.
Right.
So job fairs was cattle calls, suit and tie, stacks of resumes, long lines.
Yeah. Nobody likes that.
No. So we said, why can't we do what we're doing and do it in a casual environment, casual concept? And just basically put, you get a red hat, you're hiring. You get a green hat, you're looking. Go. You know, and you have a drink in your hand.
Were you really giving out red and green hats?
No, lanyards and stickers.
Yeah. We did.
That would have been cool, though.
Right.
We basically
conversation piece.
We arm twisted every recruiter we knew for that first one that was at the Blackfin.
And they hated us for
that's
it.
That's where we were doing our events, you mm-hmm. know, at the time. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what was going to – and, you know, it was a thing. Well, then Channel 4 showed up and made us the breaking news story.
Channel 5
at 5 o'clock. Whatever. And so the running joke is that's actually the only speech you've ever heard at an IT and the D event was when they put us on the – they had the news coverage on the big screen and Bob went, hey, look, we're on TV.
It's a true story.
But so, you know, we had 350 people mm-hmm. that showed up at the Blackfin that night, you know, with a second wave that came after that 5 o'clock news story.
In a room that holds 50 in a bar that holds 300.
Exactly. You know, and God bless those recruiters that came out because, I mean, some of them were hung out until – we had 42 recruiters there that first night. Mm. And some of them hung out until like 11 o'clock at night, making sure that everybody that showed up got a chance to talk with a recruiter. And it was just – it was amazing. And so, you know –
well, we've seen, but it's almost – that is our weather vane to the job market because we've been told like, hey, I don't want to be seen at this event because it's a job fair.
Yeah.
I don't want to network. But what we've seen was, you know, at the –
I don't want to get out that I'm looking for work.
Yeah, but at the top was a couple of years ago when we had an astronomical – and now it's slowly tapering down where we're not seeing – the people right now the recruiters want are working.
Yeah.
The people out of work right now are coming out of – they're either in transition or they're coming out of boot camps.
They just got laid off at Macy's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very trying now for these pink slip parties to be what they were,
mm-hmm.
even though – you know, because the last one was probably the least attended we've ever had out of all the pink slip parties we've had.
But what I heard from a lot of the recruiters is it was still some of the best people they'd ever met.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's a good barometer on what the job market's like because it was basically – you know, because we tried a little bit of everything. We did the pink slip parties. We tried 4 a year, mm-hmm. And that was too much. And so we kind of settled in on 2 a year. So we do them in March and September now.
We might do one a year the way March went. We might not do September, just the way it's going.
And, you know, so it's, you know, it was like late 2012 was when we started to really see the shift where it was always job seekers that were like beating down our door and showing up in our inbox like, hey, when's the next event? When's the next event? When's the next event? Late 2012, it became the recruiters that were saying, hey, when's the next event? I'm having a hard time finding people. Mm. And that's really what's still going on right now. And what a lot of the recruiters have found, at least the ones that are successful with us or with our group, is that it's still about networking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're we've always said this, if you're walking into one of our events the day you need a job, you are already 30, 60, 90 days too late. And that's the same thing for hiring. Because especially as the recruiting, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times over the course of the past few years, my ideal candidate is probably sitting in a chair at a desk somewhere. Well, that person is not going to leave their job for a cold call, which mm-hmm. is effectively what you are the first night you meet them.
Well, it's amazing how many people show up at it like, why, you know, hey, what brings you out? Oh, I got laid off last week. Where you been? You know, busy.
Well, or, you know,
on the contrary is, hey, haven't seen you in a while. They go, you know, it was the same thing. Like, well, yeah, I didn't need to. Now I need something. You know, instead of putting the work and the effort into building that network,
yeah,
they're only coming when they need something. And it's human nature. It's a lot of things. It's time. You know, you're investing time in something you don't know is going to happen or not happen. With networking is a giant crapshoot.
It's
right?
A contingency plan.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, I mean, do you always buy, you know, not to use IT terminology, but do you buy DR if you've never went down? You know what I mean? That's the same thing with networking.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, but I'm just saying.
So you're getting practical, real world, professional advice here from a couple of seasoned IT pros. I mean, you get a little bit of everything listening.
He just called
Daily
old.
Detroit.
I think he called us
podcast.
Old.
We're not old.
You guys aren't old. But you've got faces made for
radio.
Podcasting.
Yeah, that's right. Totally. Faces for radio. That's, yeah.
So we were at Sugar House at noon. We're hip, you know.
So tell us about IT in the D. I understand that IT in the D is the number one tech podcast in Detroit that records Mondays at 9 p.m. Is that
a true story?
That's true.
Right. Yeah, very much so.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. We don't know how. I can't believe we got there either.
I hear the girls go wild for it. You know?
No, they do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. No, so I mean, it started back in early 2013.
With a microphone and a dream.
That's right. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No. So early 2013, a friend of a friend built out a podcast network in the Russell Industrial Center.
Mm-hmm. Let's rephrase that. That was an internet radio station. Very big difference. We can talk about that another time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For the purpose, to keep the terminology clean, it was a podcast network. Well,
it's all digital.
It's what a podcast network was at that point. I had gone on. I went on a couple of their shows in like February and March of 13, talking about us and who we were and what we did, and you know, kind of you know, trying to help get the word out about our events. And then in April, they called me up and said, "Hey, one of the co-hosts called in sick. You've always been fun. You want to hang out for the night?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's always been a good time." Went and did that. And then they called me up in May and said, "Hey, our Monday night show from 9 to 11 sucks, and we're giving the boot. You want 2 hours of airtime every week?" So I'm like, "Well, hold on a second." So I flip over and I call Bob, and I'm like, Bob.
And you guys are old friends from back in the day. Well, I mean, then you've known each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, you worked.
So, you know, do we want 2 hours of airtime every week? Yes.
Well, at this point, we've been doing speaking engagements all across the state. We've been doing these events for years and years and years and years. So, I mean, yeah, it was. But the issue was we never listened to a podcast before.
Right. And I mean, do either of you guys have a media background at all?
No.
I mean, because you're good at what you do. I mean,
theater.
Theater.
I have one of my degrees is in theater.
So I was a drunk bar DJ for the Post Bar downtown.
That's like a theater degree.
Yeah. That doesn't really count. Because I'm just, I'm announcing Jenny's birthday and $3 shots of Jaeger.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Post is rest in peace now, right?
Yeah.
Totally gone.
They've been gone.
Wow.
So I was a post bar DJ for 11 years.
They were like a Detroit area empire for.
It was.
Dave Millar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I started with Millar.
Yeah.
He was a bartender. I was the DJ.
Got it. Wow.
But that was.
He's the DJ. I'm the rapper. What?
You know, but I mean, I'm a sales guy, so that means I'm a professional BSer.
Yeah.
You know, and Dave's just a, you know, I don't know what the hell to call him anymore.
And yet the two of you guys both still work full time J jobs. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounded like I said gay jobs, but I said day jobs.
Well, you know, $20 is $20. Right. No, it's, I mean, it's you
no
know,
eye contact is okay.
Yeah, this is what we do and what we laughingly call our free time.
Yeah. So speaking speaking of inappropriate, you know, things to say on a podcast. I mean, you guys have always been sort of known for being willing to say things that other people won't. And I mean, you,
yeah.
Dave, you were on Flashpoint on Channel 4 WDIV in 2014 after you wrote a blog post about old Detroit versus new Detroit. What happened?
No. I reacted to a blog post called old Detroit
right.
versus new Detroit.
Right. I mean, but you were kind of maybe the tenor of that blog post was one of frustration, I guess.
It absolutely was, yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, so I did. I mean, I'd been reading and hearing a lot of things, and I simply wrote a blog post. And hey, as a middle-aged white guy in the suburbs, I care about Detroit. Stop being jackasses, mm-hmm. you know. And it was, you know, so if you don't
because
like
what were people being jackasses about?
Well, so it was, you know, the tenor. I mean, the title of it was, if you don't like what's going on in Detroit, get involved. Mm-hmm. You know,
no, you know, the tenor. I'll be honest with the tenor is it's college. And when you're a freshman, you get beat up. Then when you're a junior, you beat up a freshman. Right? That's the only analogy I can come up with. So you got the guys coming in from Lake Orion, moving into Midtown. Now they're getting beat up, right? And then 2 years into their Detroit living, they get to say they're real Detroit. And the new ones aren't Detroit enough, man. You don't know because I'm Detroit. And it became this like – I traveled the whole country, you know, with my sales job, and I'd always ask these questions like, do you guys celebrate 312 Day in Chicago? And I get laughed at. Hey, what happens when you
move? Well, you get what?
What? Yeah. Hey, right. When you move in the city, do you say you're more Chicago than someone else? Like, what are you talking about? Like, these arguments we have in the city are the most ridiculous things that
nobody else
they
cares
don't
about
exist in the rest of the country. They don't.
Well, and it's
welcome to the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Here's an apple pie. Do you like alcohol?
Or normal neighbors do,
right? Like here, though, oh, you're not Detroit enough. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Like, so anyway, so Dave said, kiss my ass, all of you.
Yes. I mean, it was, you know, look, I mean, there's, you know, everybody was, I get it. You know, yeah, the whole thing with, you know, the quickening and, you know, all that stuff that's going on downtown. And, you know, yeah, they're moving in. But you know what? And you know, I was tired of listening to, you know, artists complain about, oh, the rents are going up at, you know, the buildings that they live in.
Buildings getting fixed.
The age-old gentrification.
Right. You know, and it's so, or, you know, oh, you know, somebody just moved into that building that's been vacant, you know, at the corner in our neighborhood.
Better be
at the
something
end of the street.
We like.
But it's not what I want, man. Yeah. It's not what I wanted there. Well, then for 20 years it was vacant. Why didn't you do something? You know, or, you know, why didn't you, you know, in the span of 20 years, come up with a plan that could have or done something that could have made that happen. And it was, you know, some of it was a little hyperbole and some of it was a little tongue in cheek. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at the end of the day, I was very serious about it because what pisses me off more than anything else is people that don't actually do anything that want to sit back and take pot shots at those that are, mm-hmm. you know, because I mean, like from our perspective, like I remember, man, the first time we told people. It blew my mind. We had some great connections with the Red Wings and Hockey Town, and we got a block of tickets for a Red Wings Vancouver Canucks game like 2 weeks before the playoffs. So I mean, it was going to be a huge game. I mean, it was, and we got a block of tickets, and we got the Hockey Town Cafe to give us the third floor, and like we were just going to, and it was going to be us and private, and we had like, you know, we were all going to get to the game. Posting the note about that event, and literally the first comment I got was, you know, well, why, you know, why Detroit, you know, why nobody wants to go down there, you know, our cars are going to get broken into, no. And that led to Suburban Kryptonite. And that was like, that was 2 years before this article about Detroit. I said, and that's the part that kills me is that, you know, and now here I am writing the counterpoint to what I wrote 2 years ago. You know, you assholes and you jerks in the suburbs, knock it off. You know, and now I'm saying, okay, you jerks in the city, knock it off. You know, it's a symbiotic relationship. A city doesn't exist without suburbs, and a suburbs, you can't have suburbs without a city. It doesn't work that way. Mm. You know, and so, you know,
a farm.
Yes. I mean, when we were doing, you know, when we were doing events downtown, you know, initially, we, you know, we'd get 8, 9 people, 10 people that came out. You know, it killed us. But I mean, we've been committed and we stayed committed to doing events down there, and it's panned out. I mean, like, you know, now
it's a big IT tech cluster down there, basically.
Yeah.
You know? as far as jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's – but, yes, I mean, that's, that was the point of that article. And there are some other news publications. Actually, I won't even use the term news public. I would just say there are some other blogs out there that are not –
You can kind of call that a blog? It's cut and paste other people's stuff.
Exactly.
Picked you up.
That weren't exactly ethical at all. They took what I wrote and they put their own spin on it. And their spin was that I hated Detroit, that I obviously hated in one case it was that I hated black people.
If you don't like it, get out.
And they retitled my my piece that if I did, you know, basically I said if you don't like it, get out of the city. And I was livid, and you know, so in
you almost had to move to Cleveland for that one.
Hey, Cleveland's not a very safe place to be these days.
No.
So it was funny because when they my phone kind of blew up for a few days, and when I got a phone call from DIV,
yeah,
he was like, hey, you know, this is, you know, so and so, and he was one of the PDs for Devin on Flashpoint, and I said no. I said, there's no way in hell I'm coming on your show and being a punching bag. He's like, no, it's not what Devin wants to do. It's not his speed. It's not his style. I said, no, I'm not doing it, man. I'm like, I don't trust the media. It's not. And I hung up on him. And then I got a phone call like 5 minutes later from another number, and it was Devin Scillian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, look, man, like we run in some of the same circles. Like we're 6 degrees of separation. He's like, I know who you are. He's like, I know you're getting railroaded. I want you to come on and tell your side of this. And he's like, I want you to get your message out. And so I did. And they also invited the person whose piece I specifically had reacted to. yeah. And, you know, it went a long way towards kind of, you know, soothing some ruffled feathers, including my own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just getting the actual message out there as opposed to somebody else's interpretation of it.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe this is a cynical way to look at it, but I'm sure it was great for traffic and your public recognition and everything, right?
Like- I mean, I guess, you know, good touch, bad touch, you know, that I don't really believe in the mantra that there's no such thing as bad press, because, yes, there's absolutely such thing as bad press. You know, ask Bill Cosby how his comedy tour is doing this year. But, you know, it's a thing. And, you know, I still stand behind what I wrote. And I mean, that's kind of the core of us is, you know, even with, you know, over 100 and some odd Don't Be That Guy entries, you know, and some of the other stuff that we have out there. It's all written because we're authentic, you know, and I don't care if you – I think one of the best compliments I ever got was that after people talk to me, if they read one of my blog entries, they say they can hear it in my voice because I type like I talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is I hear it too, and we never like talk about how we write. Both of us – I've sent it to stuff out in Texas, yeah, like HP friends, and they go, I could totally hear you yelling like this right now.
Right.
But we, like I said, we don't really even edit. Like I'll throw him, like I'm grammar, you know, poor. So I'll shoot it over to him like just to clean up grammar, add something I forgot. But we write like very similar. It's kind of strange, mm-hmm, even though he's more long-winded than me, but writing wise, but we write like we rant.
Well, and it's the same thing. I mean, you know, our whole thing is, you know, I don't care if you meet us at one of our events or here at the studio or you listen to our podcast or you read one of our blog entries, you run into us at a wrestling event, you run into us at a Comic-Con, you run into us wherever we may happen to be, you're going to know it's us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't spend a lot of time polishing our podcast. You know, we don't spend a lot of time, you know, polishing our blog entries. You know, we kind of consciously went after the – we wanted it to be natural, and yeah, we wanted it to be authentic, and we wanted it to be genuine. And so that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, and you guys are busy guys too, obviously. You got a lot going on. And we talked about the new initiative up in Flint at,
yep,
at the top of the podcast. What else? What's next for IT and the D? I mean, you're talking about doing that, and that program might be expanding. You've got Podcast Detroit. Obviously, the network is
honestly the next thing for IT.
Pretty big.
I mean, the next thing for IT and the D, it has been Podcast Detroit. So I mean, you know, we're
not right. Yeah, this isn't a business plan. We don't know what the hell we're doing in 3 months.
No.
So, honest to God.
I guess that's a good point. I mean, that's been kind of candidly. I mean, the key to us being us is that we don't push.
Mm-hmm.
We get pulled into everything we do. Mm-hmm. You know,
the state wasn't a push. The state was, hey, you guys are doing this thing.
They came to you.
Yeah.
It was me throwing a softball at them and them like teeing it up. And then,
oh, yeah. I mean, it was a bar chat that turned into, we want in.
Yeah.
they clearly knew who you were for years and everything.
Yeah, I got an old friendship with someone there. But then there was other people that have been coming to our show. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we've been involved. Like, we spoke at Michigan Shifting Gears for, what, 6-7 years?
Yeah.
They're the what they call them cohorts for people in career transition, teaching them on networking and basically basic skills. Because these were people that have, were in the workforce for 25 years and got laid off going, what's a LinkedIn? I got a Twitter now? What's
yeah,
a Twitter?
The last resume I did, I typed. Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, and it's, you know, it's been funny because I do. I always cringe when I hear the what's next question. I mean, you know, let's run through the timeline of this.
I do too.
Well, no. So, I mean, it's, you know, so we launched our show June 3rd of 2013. We got to the point where we outgrew to some degree where we were at the Russell. And so, you know, friend of a friend, you know, great guy, Neil, that, you know, works with Trinet and owns Activate Gaming, had some extra suites up above Activate, and which is now High Score Lounge, and went ahead and said, yeah, you guys can build a studio up there. Let's get that done. You know, and so we moved out in May of 2015.
Okay.
We moved into the studio down in Ferndale, right down the street from where we are now.
About the size of a bedroom and a closet.
Yep. And it was going to be us. It was our own little private – like that was the expectation. It was going to be our own little private man cave, and it was going to be us, our show, our thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then it took about 3 weeks before we started getting the knock on the door from people going, guys, you have this great studio. You use it for 2 hours a week. Stop being jerks. Open the doors. We want to be pod. We don't want to do a podcast.
Yeah.
So July of 2015, we launched Podcast Detroit, the network, in that one studio. By January of 2016, we were full. We went building hunting, found this building that we're in now in Royal Oak. And so in May of 2016, like literally a year to the day, we made the move from Ferndale to here where we are in Royal Oak, where we have currently 3 active studios, about to bring a 4th online.
And a 5th downtown.
Well, I was going to say, and then in December, we added in on the 20th floor of the Penobscot, we've got a studio down there for our business clients.
Yep.
You know, because one of the things because again, IT and the D at the core, it's all about networking and relationships. And we heard from some businesses, hey, I'd love to use your stuff for our internally recorded items, but I'm not sending my people to Royal Oak for 3 hours in the middle of the day. All right. So we planted the flag, you know, down the Penobscot again, a friend of a friend kind of thing. And away we went. And so, I mean, it's you know, I don't know what's next. You know, it's basically us trying to keep pace or keep at least one step ahead of where everybody else is coming at us. Like, you know, this 4th studio that we're bringing up here online, you know, it's going to be so like here we have 2 8 tops, you know, 8 mic setups plus a 4 mic setup. That's going to be another 4 mic setup, but it's also going to have green screen capabilities. You know, we're also going to, you know, diversify a little bit. Had a conversation with a couple photographers that wanted a nice safe base to do photo shoots. So, I mean, it's also going to have some other backdrops in there that people can do photo shoots and that kind of stuff in if they want to. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's just evolving, taking on a life of its own in a lot of ways.
Well, again, we're going where we're pulled,
yep.
At least where it makes sense for us to get pulled. You know, there are a lot of things that we say no to. But I mean, if it's not counter to our core, you know, or counter to, you know, like who we are at our base, then, yeah, we'll listen and we'll give it a shot and see if we can make it work. You know, our running shtick is we never go for perfect. We just aim for make it suck a little less.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to me. I'm not sure it should be surprising necessarily. It's a big city when you consider Metro Detroit, but that there's obviously a passionate base of people who want to produce and certainly consume podcasts, but especially produce podcasts and make stuff.
You know? We were up at one point over, 90 shows? I mean, in and out of here, you get about 50, 60.
Yeah.
There's some that have come and gone. But I mean, yeah, at one point you've had what?
Actually, with the shows that we've added, so I just did the math because we just swapped out the lock and we created pins for everybody. 83.
Yeah.
That are here either on a weekly or biweekly basis. Shows are coming in and out. And honestly, what's cool about that is, I mean, you know, so again, kind of getting back to the Detroit thing and all that, you know, white guy from the suburbs. Yeah, great. So, you know, Bob and I are 2 white guys from the suburbs doing our thing. We have so much diversity in this studio and on this network. It's friggin' amazing. Like, we're up over, 40. We're getting close to 50% of our shows now that are run by minorities. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're getting so many different voices. We've got women. We've got Muslims. We've got just, you know, we've got so many different voices on our network. So help me God, if there's not something on this network that appeals to you, double check your pulse.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, a preacher that talks gospel for a couple hours or boxing and MMA, wrestling, events, music, the local music scene.
Local food scene.
Yeah,
sports scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, you know, how many different shows are out there. I mean, and that's we're looking at this the same way we look at our networking group. You know, we want people there to grow and mature and succeed. We want podcasts here to grow and mature and succeed. So, I mean, our whole big thing is, you know, trying to help people find their voice. You know, I mean, we're not the cheapest game in town by any stretch of the imagination. You know, we're not trying to pay the mortgages off this, but we're not cheap either.
Yeah.
You know, and because we do want people that are taking it seriously, that, you know, really want to do something with it.
Got it. So that'll do it for our episode today. If you would be so kind, please consider leaving us a review wherever you found this podcast. And also, don't forget to share us on your favorite social media channels. Until next time, I'm Sven Gustafson. Be good.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.